I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. On Tuesday, Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis surprised a lot of people with a remark at a public event in Washington. It was about the war in Yemen.
30 days from now, we want to see everybody around a peace table based on a ceasefire, based on a pullback from the border, and then based on ceasing dropping of bombs that will permit the special envoy, Martin Griffin, who's very good, he knows what he's doing, to get them together in Sweden and end this war. That is the only way we're going to really solve this.
That might be the first time in 4 years of fighting in Yemen that a U.S. official has put a timetable on the war. 30 days doesn't sound like much. For people inside Yemen, it's a very long time. I spoke earlier today with Zulkaman Baloch. He's a humanitarian worker in the Yemeni capital Sana'a and director there with a group called Islamic Relief. He says the fighting is actually not the biggest issue.
As you know, Yemen is an active war zone since last 4 years, and more than 80% population of Yemen, you can say around 22.2 million people, they are in need of humanitarian assistance. The infrastructure, road infrastructure and public infrastructure, those are damaged. Schools and dispensaries, those are damaged. Even the water sources and the bridges, these have been damaged because of war.
Peter Salisbury lived in Yemen before the war and now consults for the International Crisis Group about what's going on in Yemen. So, Peter, we just heard about the hunger and poverty that Yemenis are coping with. Can you put that in perspective with this U.S. call to have a ceasefire in 30 days?
Sure. I think a lot of people are looking at this call and placing it largely in the context of the murder of Jamal Khashoggi and the need for the U.S. to demonstrate that it's applying pressure to the Saudis. But then when you dig into it a little bit, what you get to is that there is no punitive consequence for not getting to peace talks. So all we really have an announcement that the U.S. wants these peace talks to go ahead within the next month.
I mean, Saudi Arabia, as we know, has not been able to dodge criticism for killing the journalist Jamal Khashoggi a month ago. And yet for nearly 4 years, the Saudis and their allies, the United Arab Emirates, not much scrutiny over the deaths of thousands of Yemenis killed by bombs purchased from the U.S. Do you think Secretary Mattis was putting all these countries on notice?
I don't, to be completely honest with you. Mattis, in public and private, has been telling people that the Yemen war needs to end for strategic reasons, for reasons of moral conscience. But Yemen's problem has always been and always will be, I think, that it simply isn't high enough on the list of priorities for the US and other Western states to expend political capital to make life better there for the average Yemeni. And I don't really see any shift in that.
There's legislation in Washington that would halt U.S. backing of the Saudi-led coalition with a single vote. How does this 30-day countdown affect that vote? And how much are you looking at the midterms as maybe affecting that vote as well?
This is the wild card in the United States, where we saw this addition to the last defense spending bill, which requires for the Secretary of State, for Pompeo, to certify that the Saudis and Emiratis are both doing everything they can to avoid civilian casualties and to end the war. Pompeo certified in September and will have to do again, I think, another 180 days. And it's becoming harder and harder to make the case. And there's a lot of opposition to it within the State Department. And having had it certified, I think people in Congress are beginning to think that they might have to take harder action than not give the Trump administration an out. And if we see the Democrats controlling the House after the midterms, that becomes a lot easier for them to push through. And it's a stick with which to beat the Trump administration politically. So again, less to do with Yemen itself and more to do with internal political calculus. But we are seeing pressure on the Trump administration to kind of get this thing done.
I mean, of course, the war in Yemen began before Trump came to office. And whether there's a blue wave or not, we should consider that there may be some political posturing over Yemen prior to the midterms. I mean, Trump has warned Americans about how many military hardware jobs there are in the U.S. At risk if the U.S. stops selling Saudi Arabia arms. How worried are you that after next Tuesday, much of Washington could go back to sleep on Yemen?
I think that sadly, that's a very real possibility. And I do agree that some of what we've seen thus far has been political posturing in a sense that one can't defend the indefensible during election season. But at one and the same time, I think one of the positive developments we've seen over the last few months is people really beginning to wake up to the level of the humanitarian crisis in Yemen. And we saw the front page of the New York Times carrying images of starving Yemeni children over the weekend. And I don't think that that's going to let up.
Yemen expert Peter Salisbury there.